Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Hospital Sports Desk, I'm Jeff Thomas.
When the players and coaches speak during the mandatory minicamp.
For all you kids with Darius Garland jerseys, well, school's out, so I don't know if you can wear them to school because I think he's going to be gone by the time the next school year starts, and I'm going to tell you why coming up at 8:45. If this person's saying it, he's as good as gone. And I'm just going, have we not forgot about Jared Allen? Okay. That all coming up at 8:45. Can I bitch at you for a minute? Not at you, but something that happened
Friday. Yeah, go ahead.
So I had those awards on Friday. And I go there, and it was at the House of Blues. Great venue. I've only been there like 3 times now. And I go there, and I'm driving, and I'm going, well, I'm going to have to pay to park. I wonder how much parking's going to be. The Friday night Gardo's game. It was on Euclid, right? $35. And I went, I can't.
Oh, man. Were you stuck? You had to do it? Because you were
no.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know if you were running late.
But I had, no. I had plenty of time. But here was the issue. Is I go, nah, I'm not doing it. So what do they call it? Something prospect. I call it the Huntington building because it's got Huntington on the side of it. And it's a big building. They call it like the prospect building or something like that. I go around there. I did like a UE, went around. Long story short, I ended up at East 9th. Like across the street from the Hampton, and there was like a $6 lot, and I went perfect.
Well, you got to shove the money in a little. I love those ones.
Oh, that's the fun with the key.
Yeah, with the key.
Oh, that's a great one.
We always park here for baseball games, but we always go out down East 9th and down by the Brown Stadium and take the Shoreway home. There were people walking back yesterday, and my wife's going, "Why are these people walking all the way down there?" Well, it's because you can still.
Well, Cleveland's,
get away with some parking that's not, you know, going to take you to the bank.
It's a very walkable city in downtown. So if you're willing to hoof it just even a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice out. Absolutely.
I went from paying, I got a $29 discount on the parking.
It's worth it.
But there was another issue there. As I was walking up, you remember, I look like me. I'm a free perspirer.
Oh, really?
And I had the jacket off as I strolled. I made sure I go, don't you be walking fast, stroll. Still got a little too sweaty for my liking. As I got to the House of Blues. And I go, I got to sit down. And my bosses go, why? And I go, I'm very warm. And I'm going to start. They go, no, you look fine. I go, I don't feel fine.
Around for that.
Losing weight?
Okay. I'm in the same boat with you there.
Oh, what's the workaround?
Do that. There's a workaround for guys like us for that. But you gotta be able to take a little attention on yourself that you maybe don't want. They got scooters down here for rent.
Oh, I'm not getting on the scooter.
I would love to see Ken dressed up. I've seen it.
Just his tux and tails flapping in the
wind. Breeze.
When they have downtown weddings at some of these churches or whatever, you see people all decked out. And, of course, they're drunk because it's a wedding.
Right.
So you're drunk on a scooter. You're dressed up. And let me tell you something. It can be dangerous, so I'm not trying to make light. I know people could get in accidents just
of course,
the same.
We don't condone that.
But when somebody does wipe out, all decked out on a scooter, it is pretty fun.
I've never seen it. But I'm not going to give anybody a reason to make more McGuire twin comparisons or anything like that. But when I was walking back, and of course I had my hardware with me when I was walking back, it was.
Yeah,
I go,
you should have paid somebody to walk them back with you. You won too many awards.
I was like, boy, what a delightful area here. It is just walking back on a Friday evening. It was still dusk. And then I realized that the parking garage said lock closes right at 7.
People get locked out like crazy.
And I go,
lots.
How do I How the hell do I get to it? And thank God, the largesse of a guy who works at the pizza shop underneath it, I was like, hey, man, he let me in, and I was able to get to my truck and get out of there because I'm going, how the hell am I going to get home?
I'll tell you,
I'm a big J journalist now. I need your help.
Yeah. Well, I'm carrying around these awards. He's probably like, come on, big awards.
Do some investigative work and figure it out on your own. The amount of people that do get locked out of these parking garages after games.
So I didn't think about it.
Because nobody's, first of all, the gates go down.
Yep.
Nobody's working at these places anymore. They're all automated. And you're just locked out. And there's nothing you can, it's not like you can call the police and say, can you force them to open up?
They're going to laugh at me and hang up. They got other things they got to worry about.
There's nothing you can do at all. It is also the stark contrast in this city when there are games and not games. Downtown Cleveland.
$5 to park off Euclid. Good God almighty. A little heavy on that. Ratings are down for the NBA Finals. You had a theory behind it.
They're terrible. I mean, the ratings are terrible. We knew they were going to be terrible. And then people are assigning all their preconceived reasons on why it's terrible. But I thought about it. I went back and looked. You know the Cavs on that meteoric rise 2007 after what LeBron James did to the Pistons, where he had an all-time performance. He had the game where he scored how many straight points? 25?
There was something ridiculous, yes.
That Detroit team had been in the finals. They had won a championship before.
They did.
You know, the ratings were terrible for those finals. They're terrible. San Antonio, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Greg Popovich. Like, you knew, everybody knew around America. But even game one, even if you said, all right, well, the series was a four-game sweep or whatever. Even game one, terrible. Terrible ratings. So here's my question. Is there a chance that it is America is getting to know Halliburton? They're getting to know the guys on Oklahoma City that made them such a special season and a special year where they rated as one of the best teams in NBA history by the numbers. SGA, they're getting to know SGA where we're going to look back 5 years from now. We're going to look back at this year and go, oh yeah, America didn't know who these guys were yet. But 5 years later, they're all not only household names, they're absolutely big stars.
Well, I think there's a chance
that's the case?
No team highlights the need for stars the way the San Antonio Spurs did, and why the NBA is going to need stars. That was a great team that won five championships over a long period of time, and Tim Duncan didn't say boo to a goose, and Manu Ginobili, I know there was something with Tony Parker and his ex-wife or whatever it was, but I don't think anybody was really interested in that who are just fans of sports. You still need stars because even like if you consider yourself a sports fan, there's plenty of people who consider themselves sports fans and they ain't watching the finals or they're not watching game three of the World Series. They're going to watch something else. Like there's plenty of people who consider themselves sports fans, but if it's not their team, they're not going to do it. But if it's LeBron, if it's Steph Curry, which it's been LeBron and Steph Curry, ratings through the roof. If it was Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Ray Kobe, ratings through the roof. I think you're right. I think we're just getting to know these guys. But like Tyrese Halliburton, I thought if he wins the finals, boy, that's face of the league stuff. But there's still another chapter to it. Like you got to be able to back it up next year. You got to be a player that people want to see next year. It could be a shooting star across the sky because you still have to be good enough. And as Owen said, what, 18 points a game, I think it is. Is it selling out arenas on the road? Now, if they were to pull an upset, maybe it does. Maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, this is the beginning of him selling out arenas on the road. I think that whoever Kendrick Perkins' friend who called him and said that.
He was awesome. You saw SGA last night.
He was.
The skill, the amazing job just with his handles, being able to pull up, shaking guys off like crazy, making big defensive plays. Like that guy looked like the MVP yesterday.
We had Nathan Zagur on Friday, and this was something to hear where I know we've had Camp Cupcake before. We've even had it a little bit with Kevin Stefanski. He says 2025 is going to be a lot different.
This is a completely different OTA than we've seen with the Cleveland Browns in recent years. The number of reps, the intensity of reps, all of it. I think having these quarterbacks is kind of spurring that on. Maybe not from the intensity standpoint, but the number to get all the work. So you're having a team that's getting a lot more work out of their OTAs than they have in the past. And I'm telling you this right now because I've talked about it with numerous coaches on this team. You're going to see fans when you come to training camp this year, longer, harder, more demanding training camp practices than you've seen in recent years from the Cleveland Browns.
And I think that's a good thing. No Camp Cupcake here, Nathan.
I forgot we reacted like that. I scared myself. Daryl Ryder coming up at 8:22. I'm going to ask him this question. Is it? I don't have a theory about it yet. I have questions about it. The only way we can actually answer it is during mandatory minicamp and during training camp, really during training camp. Is it too late? You're 6 years in. You've had tougher training camps before with Kevin Stefanski. Last year, pretty soft. Pretty soft training camp. You had what people said was a rigorous training camp at the Greenbrier. And they went to the playoffs that year. Okay, great. Is it too late, though, too late to have a tough training camp? Are you are who you are, and are you trying to be someone you're not? And will players be able to see through that if you're trying to have a tough training camp?
Wow. There is a...
I don't have an answer yet, but yeah, I have to ask the question.
There is a psychology there, too. And I wonder what the state of affairs here is. Like, when they do these anonymous... What is it? The anonymous polling that I think The Athletic does.
The players union.
Yeah. Like we see some of the marks that the Browns get, and they try to take a snapshot of how your current team feels about ownership, the head coach, the facilities, the training program, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, though. If all of a sudden training camp is completely different, you know, that's you're bringing in many new young players, too. So you do have to be cognizant of that.
The only way I think it actually works, like if you went 2 years and it was soft, and then all of a sudden you're going, now we're going to go to work, I don't think it comes off genuinely. If you were hard before, like Bill Callahan, hard ass, right? Certifiable hard ass. Yeah. Andy Dickerson, who took over for him, not a hard ass. Mike Bloomgren, from what I hear, hard ass. So you could possibly go back to quote unquote basics. But if you started off soft, and you've had tougher training camps before, this is why I'm saying it is possible. If you started off soft and then all of a sudden you try to be King Hardass, I think that they see right through that stuff. You can't be someone you're not. Like Kevin Stefanski, there was a time, I remember when he first started, I go, doesn't he sound different? You're going, no, Ken, he's not a fire breather. He isn't different. This isn't a different man. Knock it off. And I had to accept it. If he all of a sudden sounds like Bobby Knight from YouTube, and he's sick and bleeping tired of a 3-14 record,
they'd sniff that out pretty quickly.
I think that they would sniff that out pretty quickly as well. But if he's had a harder camp before, and then last year's like, well, we don't have a lot of guys, and we don't know how this thing's going to go. And you remember Jim Schwartz? Jim Schwartz, certified hard ass. He called him out and said, these guys think it's going to be a lot easier than what it was, and it's not. And maybe it was a wake-up call last year. But I do think it's something to pay attention to. All right, let's see what your attitudes are going into the season and how this season turns out. Because you look back at that and go, you'll lose trust by losing anyway. But is that one of the reasons?
But it is tough because guys like Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, right? That Conklin, Miles Garrett, you know, those veterans that you can run any type of camp
want. Bucket hats and stationary bikes.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get out of those guys. You know, this is more for the rookies, more for the young guys, this draft class. Yeah, look, these quarterbacks are competing. Well, that means everybody's competing. When you have quarterbacks that are out there competing, that means wide receivers have to be doing that. It means everybody does.
I think for those guys, like, it's hard for me to say that, like, Joel Bitonio hasn't earned it. But I think if you're trying to do this the right way, yeah, he's a veteran, but he's also 12 years into this thing. I think that teammates should be understandable. Younger teammates should be understandable. For a lot of the pups, it's like, hey, we're going to be banging today. Let's get going. It's going to be a lot of Browns here, but I got to play this clip for Daryl at the end of this interview to see what he has to say about it. Because you are about to find out who, if this guy says it, this one particular person says it, then Darius Garland's as good as gone. 216-474-0092. Let's welcome in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
How do you feel about Nick Chubb on his way to Houston?
Good for him. Hopefully he's able to be the player he was here, but the writing was on the wall with the Browns this offseason when they drafted not one but two running backs. So it's unfortunate that he's not going to finish his career with the Browns, but part of the business of football, unfortunately.
Are you mad at the Browns? Some fans called in today. They said they were very upset with the Browns.
No, I'm not. I mean, look, he's coming off of a second knee rebuild and a foot injury. So I understand why the Browns elected to move on and decided to go younger at that position. Is it disappointing? Absolutely. I mean, Nick Chubb is one of the most beloved Browns, not only among fans, but within that locker room. And it would have been great to see him finish his career here. But, you know, that's just not the way things often work in the National Football League. So he's going to get an opportunity in Houston, and assuming he passes that physical with the Texans today, he'll get an opportunity to go down there and, you know, resurrect his career a little bit.
Daryl, was there a number they could have met at and found an agreement, or do you think this was in the cards the minute they went through the draft process and plucked, you know, two different running backs, that was going to be it no matter what?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the moment that Jerome Ford restructured his contract this offseason, that was the writing on the wall that the Browns were moving on from Nick Chubb. Andrew Berry could never come out and directly say it, but if you read between the lines of how Berry was answering the Nick Chubb questions, it told you what you needed to know. They were not going to bring him back. So I'm not going to sit here and say, Anthony, that it simply came down to a dollar figure, but it was pretty apparent for much of the offseason that this ultimately was going to be the end result.
Does this put more pressure on Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson?
I think so, and even Jerome Ford a little bit too, because guess what? And especially Junkins, if he does not come out and run the ball well, and if Nick Chubb does in Houston, you know what your fall is going to look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough
so,
day.
Yeah, you're not going to enjoy taking those phone calls. So, yeah, absolutely. I do feel like it puts a lot of pressure there. And also, too, Deuce Staley, the running backs coach. He does some unconventional drills with these guys, you know, using rubber bands and things like that. And I will say this, the running back room didn't produce much last year. So, and they're doing the same thing this year with the drills and stuff. So we'll see if the running back room can produce something this year.
Daryl, we had a conversation last segment about how there have been over time in Cleveland some training camps that have been fairly easy. They were dubbed Camp Cupcake in the past under various coaches. You know, you've followed this throughout the years. How does Stefanski run a training camp traditionally? And is there maybe some thought that this year could be different? Because that's what Nathan Zagura alluded to.
Well, I think that it's already different because of, and what's, I think it's different because it's forced to be different as well, because they've got four quarterbacks and they have to figure out which one's going to be their starter. And by splitting these guys up on, you know, two on each field here, it multiplies the reps that you're able to actually get. And look, I don't look at that as it's a tougher camp. I look at it as it's a more productive camp or, you know, off-season program to this point. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles reps this week during this mandatory mini camp, which starts tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see obviously, the actual quarterback rotation, so far, it's been Kenny Pickett up first. Last week, we got Shedeur Sanders get a couple of, you know, red zone 11-on-11 reps and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see that. But, this team needs to be not just physically tougher. They need to be mentally tougher. And I think Joel Bitonio alluded to that last week at the Browns golf outing. In some of the comments he made. So, and this is Stefanski's sixth year. At some point, the message wears thin. I think that's part of the reason they're not going back to the Greenbrier this year. You know, you did it the first year, it worked really well. You did it the second year, you didn't get the same result, right? So, I think even
so,
with
Daryl,
your conversation you had with Stefanski, he's talked about having to mix up that message with the players.
So if iron sharpens iron, should they have their training camp in the gravel and grass pit where the new stadium is going to go?
No, I'm not saying that.
They build
Come
it brick
now,
by Kenny. Brick with tears and blood and guts and everything right then and there.
I'm not
it's
saying that.
It's the Junction
that.
Boys right there at Brook Park.
Wait, the Dolphins, aren't they looking for rain?
Yeah, they're practicing in the rain.
When's it going to rain today? Coach is out there with his hand. Oh, I sense it's coming. One of those Florida deals, it's coming.
3 o'clock every day. We're practicing. Go ahead, Daryl.
The wet ball drill is a thing, oh, yeah. Right? Where they dunk the football in the bucket of water and give it to the quarterback.
Pep Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yep. Those.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Those were the good old days. Yeah, tell me were. That camp wasn't tough, Ken Carmen.
Oh, man, it was tough. Who was it Mangini or which one? Was it Butch Davis? The one that just got him in the bus and drove him to basically nowhere.
That was Eric Mangini. Yeah. Got himself in a little trouble with the NFLPA over that stunt.
Put him in a bus and just drove out somewhere just to come back on the bus.
He was the ultimate disciplinarian. He wasn't really good at acquiring talent, but if you jumped off sides or you false started, your butt was running around the facility there. You had to run the practice field, the edges of the practice fields there. By about 2 weeks into camp, nobody was jumping prematurely. And the Browns went from the most penalized team in the NFL to the least penalized team. But they just didn't have any talent because he wouldn't hire a GM.
The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
I thought this was a story, and I'm like, there's no way they went all the way to Connecticut. They did. They went all the way to Connecticut. Yeah, it was like his school, his alma mater.
Yeah, he was doing some football camp or something. You rookies are coming with me to Connecticut.
I mean,
you're going to work my football camp for me.
That is truly unbelievable. Daryl Ryder joining us right now. So we have been talking about, you know, these running backs and the pressure they might have. What about the other rookies? Because we've been so focused on the quarterbacks. Daryl, what about the other rookies so far? Like, who's got a chance to really make an impact early?
Well, I think there's two. Mason Graham, obviously, fifth overall pick there on the defensive line with Myles Garrett. And then I really think that Harold Fannin Jr., the kid from Bowling Green, the tight end there, I think he has a significant opportunity to make a massive contribution offensively this year because, and Betonio alluded to this as well, they're going to, I think, get back to the nuts and guts of what Kevin Stefanski ran in his early years here. Really dependent upon the run game, two tight end sets, because you look at the wide receiver room, let's be honest about it. It's Jerry Jeudy and then a bunch of question marks. So I really think that Graham and Fannin Jr. have opportunities as rookies to really make their mark.
Daryl, hearing about this offense, and I brought up Jerry Jeudy. You mentioned Harold Fannin as well. Is there more pressure on any one of these rookie quarterbacks or any one of these unproven quarterbacks other than Joe, one of the three, to perform where it's like, all right, we know about Jeudy. Harold Fannin, I mean, you say a lot of great things about Harold Fannin. It's been camp, and I think we all like Harold Fannin, but he's also a rookie. I mean, you will have David Njoku back. Is there a lack of weaponry there, though, with all those that puts more pressure on the quarterbacks?
I do think that there are questions in the receiver room. Certainly, we know how they feel about Cedric Tillman, Ken. But I think this is a pretty important year for guys like Michael Woods, David Bell, who, like, we've been hearing about for a couple of years, right? That, hey, you know, they're going to take the next step. And we just haven't seen that. You know, Cedric got hurt last year. That's not his fault. But I think that's a really, really big year and opportunity for him. But yeah, there are a lot of question marks, and that's why, every time I'm on the midday show, write it down, I get asked about the wide receiver room because there are so many questions in there. So, and I have that position group, Ken, circled that come the end of August, and the waiver wire gets flooded when teams make their roster reductions to 53. I think that's an area where Andrew Berry's going to be looking for some talent on that waiver wire.
All right, Daryl, this went on over the weekend. Fedor came on our weekend show with Earl, and I could not believe what I heard. This was yesterday right here on Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
I keep coming back to the same thing. Guys, I keep coming back to Darius has to go. Like, if you're going to reimagine the offense, if you're going to reconfigure the roster, and if you're going to reset your salary cap situation, this is a top-heavy team. This is a top-heavy roster. This is a team that is going to get really, really expensive as we continue to move forward. But if you're trying to accomplish all three of those things in one off season, there is one move that allows you to do that, and it's trading Darius. And it comes with this caveat, right? The package that they would be offered for Darius would have to be one that I would say yes to. It would have to be one that they would say yes to. And it would have to be one that I believe would make them a better basketball team and increase their chances of taking the next step as an organization and competing for a championship.
So, Daryl, you heard that. Is this something that is actually gaining steam? Does it have legs? Could they actually be trading one of their core four?
I think they are going to trade one or two of the core four this offseason.
Whoa! Daryl!
I do. Because I went back and I listened to that end-of-season wrap-up that Kobe Altman held. And, of course, he's going to say that we're not going to break it up. They've accomplished so much. It's important for us to stay on the same path. There's no way they can run this thing back again. Okay, it's three straight off seasons with the same thing. Not physically tough enough, not mentally tough enough. You either have that or you don't. Now, I would move, if I can find anyone to take him, Isaac Okoro, because, yes, he's a great defender. He is a liability offensively. To the point of, you put him on the three-point line and opponents don't even bother to send a body out to cover him. They beg for him to shoot the basketball. That's not a compliment. The second Cavalier I would move would be Jared Allen. Because as much as I love Jared, as much as I think he's a great regular season player and a wonderful man, he's just not tough enough in the playoffs. He really isn't. And I disagree with Kobe. Kobe, after in that wrap-up, said, hey, it's easy to blame Jarrett, but it's not Jarrett's fault. I do think that Jarrett is part of their problem in the playoffs. And if you move Darius, he is like third on that list. But Chris is right in that if you do make that move, if you do trade Darius, you better get a massive haul for that guy. You can't just make a move there for the sake of making a move. Because to Kenny Atkinson's credit, he made the two bigs thing work in the regular season, and he made the small backcourt work in the regular season. They did win 64 games. So I agree with Chris in the sense that if they can get a haul for Darius, it's worth exploring. But right now, in my list of priorities of Cavaliers to trade, he would be third on that list.
Again, that audio from Earl the Pearl with Spencer German, the potato salad.
Hear some more of the best weekend local programming in the country right here on The Fan.
92.3thefan.com. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Does Darius have to go? And the reason I asked, Chris Fedor was on the weekend on Spencer with Earl the Pearl and Spencer German. And he had said, point blank, here you go. Here's the first clip. This is Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Boom, shakalaka. Here it is. Boom.
Now. I keep coming back to the same thing. Guys, I keep coming back to Darius has to go. Like, if you're going to reimagine the offense, if you're going to reconfigure the roster, and if you're going to reset your salary cap situation, this is a top-heavy team. This is a top-heavy roster. This is a team that is going to get really, really expensive as we continue to move forward. But if you're trying to accomplish all three of those things in one off season, there is one move that allows you to do that, and it's trading Darius. And it comes with this caveat, right? The package that they would be offered for Darius would have to be one that I would say yes to. It would have to be one that they would say yes to. And it would have to be one that I believe would make them a better basketball team and increase their chances of taking the next step as an organization and competing for a championship.
That's Chris Fedor on with Earl the Pearl and Spencer German on Saturday afternoon. Next time you'll have a chance to hear him on this show will be June 20th. 216-474-0092. Does Darius Garland have to? Well, if you got to trade Darryl with him, trade Darryl with him. Does Darius have to go?
Okay, so, you know.
Because hearing Chris say that, it's well, they're shopping him now. Because he wouldn't say that unless he knew.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
From you know who.
I wouldn't say he has to go, but I think it is very, very interesting that not only is his name coming up, there seems to be a little more credibility behind this. I assume that it was going to be too difficult for them because of the constraints of being near that second apron and what happens if they go into the second apron and the types of trades you can make. And boy, nobody likes any of the names that I bring up because none of those guys...
Because they're not as good.
They're not, okay,
they're not as good.
They're not as good in the regular season. I do think, you know, the guys that I brought up can be better in the playoffs because I haven't seen Darius be good in the playoffs.
Well, it's only been a few times and he's still young. He's still 25. Right. I know you've seen those guys be better in the
playoffs.
I'm
glad you brought it up.
But why
I'm
can't Darius still be good in the playoffs? Yeah. Okay, let me walk into your tangled web of weaves then.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because I can't sit here definitively and say, guaranteed Darius is never going to have a good playoff run. Like, it stands to reason, especially in the Eastern Conference, that Darius...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
This should have been a great playoff run for him, but unfortunately he gets injured and it's a toe and it happens to be something like the only thing worse than a toe injury for how people talk about you and your toughness would have been a pinky injury. Like, it's just nobody's going to respect a toe injury. Even though it was so evident to anybody that it did bother him. He had to wear these special shoes. He was falling over himself when he tried to come back at the end of the series. I gave him credit for gutting it out, but instead people made fun of him more. So it was just an unfortunate set of circumstances this year.
I see your toe injury, and I raise you a jaw injury.
Oh, jaw.
Where you just, he looks fine, right?
Looks fine, yes.
Looks fine. Couldn't eat, apparently.
Caused him the season
from
hell.
Straw. Here's Fedor a little bit further on Garland being a defensive liability, and he agrees with you about the playoffs, Tone.
For all of the greatness that he brings on the offensive end of the floor, he is a complete and utter defensive liability. So there's enough evidence here that tells you that every single time the Cavs get into a seven-game series, the opponent that's playing against the Cavs are going to target him relentlessly over and over and over again. But when you get further and further in the playoffs and your margin for error starts to shrink and little things become the difference between winning a series and losing a series, that's something that you have to consider. How many targetable players are you going to survive with on the defensive end of the floor? And if he's going to be that level of defender, guys, he's going to have to be all-time transcendent on the offensive end to make up for that. I'm talking Steph Curry levels. I'm talking Damian Lillard levels. And I don't know that Darius can be that type of player in a playoff environment.
So does Darius have to go?
Yeah, so when you...
You know my answer.
When you mention every time, Kenny, like the players that we've talked about, whether it's Jalen Suggs, Bobby Marks had mentioned Jrue Holiday. Like, on paper, those guys are not as good as Darius Garland. Yet, I'm watching the finals last night, and I had a joke tweet. It was a joke tweet saying, wow, Aaron Kraft was ahead of his time. Aaron Kraft could have played in these finals. What am I obviously referring to? Two guys, Alex Caruso and TJ McConnell. And no, it's not just because they're white. It's because... You know, those guys have never been great shooters. They were not great shooters in college. What did they do? They defend. They defend, they defend, they defend, they get after it and defend. And then all of a sudden, those guys are hitting some key shots in the postseason. Both of them have substantial roles on two NBA Finals teams. Neither, we all agree, neither is good as Darius Garland. Yet, who would you rather have in the playoffs right now? You'd probably rather have TJ McConnell or Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso's out there guarding Pascal Siakam. He's out there guarding Halliburton. He's guarding everybody. Same thing. And McConnell comes in, and it's an explosion. Every time he comes in, he's creating havoc. He's making things happen. And look at the contracts that both of those guys have. Way less money than Darius Garland's making. Caruso, it's like half as much money as he's making. Yet again, those guys are integral figures. Now, how do you make this work? How would you even make a trade work to go out and get the types of guys that I think we all agree that Donovan needs alongside him? It's been pretty impressive how many games they've been able to win. Darius and Donovan, that duo have been incredible in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But in the playoffs, it just doesn't work. And I don't think it's going to.
Let me go to the phones. 216-474-0092. I disagree with you, but let's see where Demos stands on it. Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning. I heard the entire segment over the weekend with Fedor, and his basic premise was that the Cavs can't hang with Indiana, with Minnesota even, and OKC. And I dispute that. I think right there is his – because if that's the basis of your argument, I don't agree with it. I think that if you look back at the Cavs season, game two against Indiana was the pivotal moment there. We were up by 20. We needed a win at home. We're up, and all of a sudden, you know, and my conspiracy theory about the refs and the point spread is there. But look what happened at the end there. You had a guy make a rebound and put the ball back in from a free throw. They looked at it on the instant replay, and they didn't even call a lane violation. And then we throw in the ball wrong. I think that the main, call it fall down, for the Cavs in the playoffs were two things: injuries and Rick Carlisle outcoached Atkinson. I think you're seeing that happen right now. He beat up the Knicks the same way they beat up the Cavs, and now against OKC, they stole one game one once again. And to not take into account the environment that the Cavs were in and what that is. And by the way, last year Fedor said the exact same thing about getting rid of Allen and Garland if the trade was right. So he's just recycling his same old, and he's basing it on his observations. And honestly, the arrogance that drips from that guy's mouth.
Now, well, hold on. Now, Demos, now, you know I can't – that's your opinion. You know I can't let that go,
and I
thank you very much for the call. As far as Chris, he's not here to defend himself, and I know, whatever. I can't allow that to happen.
I don't remember Chris saying what we just played.
I don't
remember him saying he's got to go.
Admit that Chris is the most plugged-in guy within the Cavs.
Well, yeah. There's been plenty of people
media, who right?
I've considered arrogant, but he says, well, I mean, that's the whole reason, you know, what I can't get into that right now. But he is as plugged-in as you're going to find with the Cavs. Yes. Yes.
But it's not just Chris.
With the front office.
I mean, Brian Windhorst has said things recently. So there does seem to be some chatter about it. And Darius, you know, here is one thing you got to consider, and this is kind of to Ken's point, but there are teams that would absolutely love to have Darius Garland.
And that is why I pause on trading him for names like that are comparable to TJ McConnell and Alex Caruso. Because if you have TJ McConnell and Alex Caruso for your basketball team, I think you can get a lot of people to sign off on bringing one of those guys in because they're playing in the finals. But if you're just giving me like guys like that for Darius Garland, I mean, good God almighty, do you hear what you guys are saying? Do we hear what we're saying to each other? You can't say McConnell or Caruso. You were saying guys like them because those guys are on finals teams, on deep playoff teams. If people are watching like Alex Caruso in the finals, you could sell some people on that. You can, because they're seeing him play at a higher level than what we have ever played at here with this group. But man, if you're going, well, it's like a player, like they're not going to give up Alex Caruso and OKC or anything like that. It's like, oh my God, that's a difficult sell for a guy like me. And I'd rather, honestly, as of this moment, I would rather just run it back with Darius and see what Jared Allen, I think, is a different conversation, because I do think there's something schematic there that can be changed, and you're going to have to get Evan to demand the ball more in the offense. He's going to have to take real ownership of this basketball team. He's a meek guy. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, but you have to force him to do something like that. But damn it, I got a two-time All-Star who's able to fill it in, who's able to be a really great player in this league, and we're talking about giving him up for sixth and seventh guys, it seems. And that, it just sounds like when I say it like that, guys, does it not sound like an overreaction and a crazy overreaction at that? I know. He's always been the second guy. It's always, people like Colin Sexton more than him, and they certainly like Donovan Mitchell more than him. I know I'm fighting an uphill battle on that one, but Lord almighty.
I just wonder what Donovan.
Names being thrown around.
I wonder what Donovan is thinking through all this, because he stayed.
If he agrees with you, then he's gone.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I wonder if the Cavs, how much of this offseason and what they plan to do, how much are they running by Donovan, and what does Donovan think about what he needs around him as he's seen these other teams make impressive runs to the NBA Finals and looking at the way those teams have built their rosters?
216-474-0092. If you guys are there, stay there. I'm going to get to you guys. Does Darius have to go?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.